This podcast is brought to you by Camford Management Consultants. We recognise that business leaders in professional services firms need to know where and how technology can help achieve business goals. The IT leader needs to create the IT strategy, procure technology and services, and lead business change. We help business and IT leaders in professional services firms to meet these challenges. Our clients span from global leading law firms to mid-sized professional bodies, regional specialists, and small boutique firms. For our SME clients, we also provide IT support services. Hello, I'm Martin Williams, founder and managing director of Camford Management Consultants. This podcast is an audio version of our blog. In this particular podcast, we explore the cloud for business leaders. Cloud technologies have been around for some years now. We all use them, whether we realise it or not. LinkedIn is a cloud-based application, as too are most other social media apps. Skype is a cloud app, and Microsoft Office 365 is a cloud-based offering of the Microsoft Office suite. But what does it mean when something is in the cloud? And what can we get from the cloud? To understand the cloud, we must first understand how different technologies work together to provide the applications that we use. At Camford Management Consultants, we use what we call the layered framework. The framework simply represents the stack of technologies in a logical order. There are five layers to the framework, starting at the top with layer one, the business activities. Layer two is the applications that support those activities. Layer 3 is the end user technologies that users use to access those applications. Layer 4 is servers and storage platforms. And finally, layer 5 is the data center and networking. Back at the top level of the technology stack, we find the business activities. Whilst not a technology, the business activities are the only reason why you have the underlying technologies in the first place. The second layer is the applications layer. We all use applications in both our personal and professional lives, and most all of us use cloud-based apps on our mobile phones. The most obvious example is email. But there's tons of different applications for every conceivable purpose. For example, you might be a runner and use Runkeep to track your running, Runkeeper. Or you might be on a diet and be calorie tracking in MyFitnessPal. Perhaps you're checking your lottery results on the Lotto app or just keeping up with the news on the BBC News app. Whilst we can all waste a lot of time on non-business applications, the applications that we use in business only exist to make our work activities easier and or less risky. They provide efficiency through fast access to data and from process automation. But it's not just your phone that you're accessing cloud apps on. This is where the third layer of the technology stack comes in, and this is what we term end-user technologies. In IT speak, you are the end user. That is, the person that uses an application or technology. The end user technologies are those devices that are owned by the user. They may ultimately belong to the organisation you work for, but for the most part, they're assigned to a single individual. This ownership is not a hard and fast rule. For example, in a call centre, the computers, or desktops in IT speak, might be used by multiple people working on different shifts. End-user technologies are, however, those devices that are not kept in the controlled environment of a data centre or computer room. They include smartphones, tablets, phablets, which are large screen smartphones that fill the gap between a tablet and a traditional smartphone, laptops, and desktops. The vast majority of the applications we use access and store data centrally. This requires both centralised storage and applications to run on servers. And servers are essentially the big brothers of desktops. They have far greater power and serve multiple users at once. And they make up the fourth layer of the framework, servers and storage platforms. Finally, there is the networks that connect the servers and storage to the end user technologies so that the applications can all communicate. Given the performance required, the business criticality and the security requirements, the servers, storage, and core networks are housed in a data center. I won't go into the difference between a data center and a computer room, We'll save that for another day. So where does a cloud fit in? Well, that all depends. The cloud is a bit of a catch-all term for a suite of technology and service offerings. These offerings are often known by another term, which is XaaS. The X refers to a number of different possibilities, which I'll describe in a moment, and the AaS refers to as a service. Using the layered framework, we can see the various XaaS offerings, which include software as a service, or SaaS, at the application layer, desktop as a service, DaaS, at the end user technology layer, infrastructure as a service, or IaaS, at the server and storage layer, and data center as a service, DaaS, and network as a service, NaaS, at the data center and networking layer. Now, these are all examples of the cloud, although quite often when we think cloud, we only think of SaaS, or software as a service. Now, to further complicate things, the XaaS acronym has traditionally been applied to service offerings that are mostly a software or hardware product. They may have some element of human processes, such as support services, but they're primarily tangible hardware and software. In more recent times, the XaaS acronym has been applied to services that are more process-based than hardware or software. For example, there's security as a service, which is also SaaS, or sometimes SECaaS, to avoid ambiguity. And we have SMaaS, or Service Management as a Service. Now, this is all getting very complicated. So what does this all mean to the layman? Well, the exact acronym, whether XaaS or cloud, and whether the service offered is a technology-heavy offering or something more process-based, is useful to know, but really quite irrelevant. The important point is to understand that a cloud-based offering typically means one or more aspects of the technology stack, as we've gone through in the layered framework, is hosted in someone else's data center. It's also likely that a team of people who are not on your payroll are responsible for some or all aspects of the maintenance and support. Cloud services enable you to access the layers of the technology stack much faster, often immediately, without high upfront equipment costs, and provided in a service wrapper. So, is the cloud cheaper? Typically, no. But then I can't think of any service that costs less than its component parts. And you can't really perform a true apples-of-apples comparison. For example, if you move services to the cloud, but maintain the same number of people in your IT team, then you definitely won't be making savings. What you're paying for is a service, and that service comes with service guarantees that often exceed that which you could provide yourself. The primary financial benefit of the cloud is that you pay only for what you need. If you need more or less, you can usually adjust your service accordingly. In the traditional model, where you owned all of the hardware and software, you had to over-provision, as you needed to ensure that IT infrastructure, the servers, storage, network and data centers, could accommodate those rare times in the year when you needed maximum performance. This meant that most servers ran at less than 10% of capacity for more than 90% of the time. That's incredibly inefficient. Now, server virtualization sought to address this efficiency issue. And cloud offerings extend this further still to share the physical hardware across multiple companies, whilst keeping each company's data secure from the other tenants. So let's consider the cloud downsides. There are challenges that must be addressed when using cloud services. These include moving between cloud vendors. Although cloud vendors are becoming much better at this, much like banks have made it easier to switch accounts between them. What happens if your cloud vendor goes out of business? This happened in the UK when cloud vendor 2E2 went bankrupt in 2013. There's less ability to tailor applications. Cloud services are termed as off the shelf. This means you're buying a fixed product. We've seen clients struggle with this cultural challenge, although this can be a blessing in disguise, as too much tailoring can increase costs and risk in the long term. You have little or no say in application integration. A client of ours had all its core applications in the cloud, using cloud-based apps from a number of unrelated providers. During an upgrade of their cloud-based billing application, the cloud vendor decided to cease integration with the cloud-based finance system that they were using from a different vendor. With a cloud-based offering, there was no way of avoiding the upgrade. And this caused some panic for the client and resulted in temporary reversion to manual processing of invoices. The proliferation of shadow IT. This is a phenomenon unique to the cloud. And shadow IT really is where the business signs up for cloud-based services without engaging the central IT department. And this can result in security holes being punched into your environment. And finally, too much choice. With so many cloud apps springing up, it can complicate and slow down decision making. In conclusion, hopefully you now have a better understanding of what the cloud is and what's available in the cloud. You're already using lots of cloud apps, but perhaps didn't know it. There are still many IT departments and businesses today that ask, why put it in the cloud? This is the wrong way to look at things. If you were to start a business today, the last thing you would do is invest in expensive IT infrastructure, networking and data centres. You would put as much in the cloud as possible. In fact, we have one client that has done exactly that. All of their services are in the cloud. So the question you should be asking yourself is, why not in the cloud? If you like this podcast, go take a look at our channel on iTunes, where you'll find more audio broadcasts of our blog articles. If you prefer to read the articles, take a look at our website at www.camfordmc.com. If you subscribe to our newsletter, we'll keep you updated when the podcast and blog articles become available.